This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Now back to our discussion of the death penalty with Mike Farrell.
I run my hands through my hair one last time.
Most Americans probably don't really get close to considering the gravity of the death penalty until they are asked to be jurors. And the randomness of it would surprise them. The states in the North are the ones with the least amount of executions. There is a randomness in terms of who your lawyer is, what color your skin is, how much money you have in the bank. And we keep flip-flopping on how old you need to be to die, to be killed, or what your IQ need be. There was a fellow down south about 10 years ago who, right before his execution, ordered a pecan pie to be part of his final meal. And he left half aside for later after he came back.
Yeah, that was Ricky Ray Rector. It was under then-Governor Clinton's aegis, and it's a shameful episode. In my view, he left the presidential primary race in New Hampshire and raced down there to sit and oversee that execution. Yeah, the history of this whole process is rife with ugliness, people being lifted out of wheelchairs to be placed in the electric chair. Recently here in California, we had a man who was executed after his 76th birthday, could barely walk into the chamber, and a couple of months prior to his execution, he had had a severe heart attack, and they had rushed to save his life so that they could preserve him to be executed. It's just, it turns people's thinking upside down, and I really think dehumanizes. You know, Paulo Freire, who, along with others, thinks that our goal in life is to be more completely human, as he said, the dehumanization of others is part of the process, is to dehumanize ourselves. You know, I just think it's urgently important for your listeners to hear that this process is not simply one in which we recognize the wrongheadedness of our policy because it's not appropriate to do harm to other human beings and stoop to the level of those who commit violent crimes. But it's urgently important that they understand that continuing this process is eroding the moral fabric of our nation. And I believe that we see the evidence of that every day being played out in Iraq with this horror that's just happened in Haditha, with what we all know about in Abu Ghraib prison, what we know about in Bagram in Afghanistan, what we know about in Guantanamo, and now these terrible black, unknown, secret prisons that the CIA apparently has all over the world. All of this willingness to degrade human beings, an administration that winks and nods and allows torture being done officially, being sanctioned by leaders of the greatest, most free nation in the history of the world, at least in name, all of this, I think, is a part of the process of dehumanization that we have inflicted on ourselves by continuing this process of killing human beings. If we don't get a hold of it, if we don't find leadership that really points out to people the appropriate way to do things and expresses horror at the awfulness of what's developing, I think we are headed toward the end of this nation as we've always known it.
Thank you so much for being with us today on Voices of Our World, Mr. Mike Farrell.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Everyone needs to see the prisoner. They need to make it even easier by seeing me as a symbol, not a human being.
124 countries have banned, either in law or practice, capital punishment. Nations that have abolished the death penalty since 1976 include Portugal, Denmark, Norway, Brazil, Peru, France, the Netherlands, El Salvador, Argentina, Australia, Germany, New Zealand, Cambodia, Ireland, Slovenia, Namibia, and on and on. 72 countries retain the death penalty, and these include Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Belarus, Cameroon, Cuba, Egypt, Ghana, Iraq, Kyrgyzstan, Libya, Pakistan, Sierra Leone, the United States, and Vietnam. 14 states, predominantly in the northeastern United States, have banned the death penalty, including New York and Kansas, deciding it was unconstitutional in 2004. The rest still practiced capital punishment, with Texas leading in executions. And as the Supreme Court is now allowing prisoners to challenge the constitutionality of lethal injection, the court has also ruled in the capital case of Paul House versus Bell that Mr. House is entitled to a new hearing based on new DNA evidence that excludes him as the source of semen found on the victim. our entire system of justice is based on the assumption that we would never knowingly deprive a person of their freedom, let alone their life, if there was any chance they were innocent. The Supreme Court has just acknowledged that we do make mistakes, but that no person should die for such a mistake. But tell that to Senator John Kyle of Arizona, who has just introduced a bill euphemistically called the Streamlined Procedures Act, which would greatly curtail any death row inmate's chance to appeal a death sentence. And that would have included a possibly innocent Mr. Paul House. While many states are considering death penalty moratoriums, including Georgia, a longtime death penalty opponent and one of that state's most notable citizens, former First Lady and co-founder of the Carter Center, Rosalynn Carter, is speaking out. Kathy Golden talks by phone with Rosalynn Carter.
Mrs. Carter, many folks are astounded at how active you and your husband still are on so many issues. How do you explain not wanting to get into a hammock and take it easy?
Well, when we came home to the White House, we had a lot of things we wanted to do. As Jimmy likes to say, we were involuntarily retired and had a lot of issues we were working on. I have worked on mental health issues for many years and have a really good program at the Carter Center. And the work we're doing is so fulfilling. The Carter Center has programs in 65 countries. We work on health programs and peace, and it's just an exciting life. And this issue of the death penalty is something that's worried me for a very long time, and I've worked on it for years and years, trying to educate people and let them know what happens, that people are put to death who are not guilty. And I don't know, it's just a terrible issue, and one that I'm just morally opposed to the death penalty.
Now, Georgia is putting forth a potential moratorium. Tell me about how you've become involved with supporting this moratorium.
Well, I've been speaking out publicly against the death penalty for years. And then in 2000, maybe, when the ABA called for, I think it was a moratorium, they called for a nationwide examination of how the death penalty was administered. And we had a meeting, they had a meeting at the Carter Center to announce that, and I supported that. And then I've worked very hard to get the death penalty removed from people who were mentally retarded, mm-hmm. and that passed. And the Supreme Court actually passed a law against the death penalty for people with mental retardation, and also worked against the death penalty for children. And the Supreme Court then, in I think 2005 maybe, declared that it was unconstitutional to execute people whose crime was committed before they were 18. And now I'm working very hard to support the call for moratorium in Georgia, but there was a bill to set up a commission and study it and to suspend the death penalty for a while until we could examine the situation, but it didn't pass. So I'm hoping that in the next legislature we'll call for moratorium. I'm hopeful.
I noted that of all the, and there have been considerable exonerations in recent years, death row inmates, because of the findings, later findings of witnesses coming forward or DNA changes
yes.
in testing. When we all realize that mistakes are made, that we are fallible, that our system is a great system, but it is fallible, why do you think so many folks are still unable to see the wisdom of, at the very least, a moratorium to study the problems?
I don't think people realize how the death penalty is administered. I don't think that they realize that it's not dependent upon the crime. It's dependent upon where you are, who the prosecutor is, whether you are white or black or the race issues proven to be contribute to the death penalty. I just don't think people realize that, and I don't think that people realize that the United States is almost alone in the whole world in imposing the death penalty. And there are almost more executions in a few states like Texas and Florida, not quite as many, but almost more than the rest of the world combined. And also, something like 97% of all known executions are in China, Iran, Vietnam, and the United States. I just don't think people realize that. And I was shocked when I first started studying this, which was many years ago. And the reason I became interested is because when we got to the governor's mansion, all of the help were prisoners, trustees from the prison. And one young woman, Mary, who is still with us today, was sent to take care of Amy. Amy was 3 years old at that time. And she was in prison when we started asking her about her. She found out that a man had been killed in a town actually pretty close to Plains. She was visiting a cousin, and the morning, somebody was killed in the night, accidentally, it turned out, I think. The next morning, they picked her up and charged her with murder, and she saw a court-appointed attorney in the courtroom. He told her to plead guilty. He'd get off light. She pled guilty and got life. Well, Mary could just as easily have been executed, and we would never have known her. And I became really interested in the prisoners in the house. And it was incredible what some of them were in prison for. Mary's been pardoned now because Jimmy got them to relook at her case, and she was totally innocent.
Mm.
And that's when I became really concerned. And then the more I studied it, how there's no legal representation for people, although Georgia passed a law last year, I think, calling for publicly funded legal representation for people, for indigents. And it's not fully funded yet, and it's not working all over the state yet, but it is in some places, and I'm hoping that it's going to be more fully funded. But I just don't think they have the representation. I've read stories about people, attorneys who are appointed to those who are being tried for murder, being asleep in the courtroom, and sometimes they have no representation at all, and most of the time, a lot of the time, it's by those who are not qualified and can't get work any other way.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just a terrible situation. And I just looked up, knowing that I was going to talk with you, I looked up the Innocence Project, the computer.
Right.
And it says 175 people have been exonerated since we know how to do DNA and for other evidence. And that's an incredible just to know that you even kill one person who's not
right.
guilty.
And five of those people were right in your state, in
that's
Georgia.
That's right, Georgia. It just hurts. Every time an execution is coming up, I write to the governor. And sometimes if enough people do it, it'll make a difference, but most of the time it doesn't. Just get the message out to states about what's going on in their state, because I just don't think people realize. And I think if they did realize how the death penalty was determined, that it's not by the crime, but by where people are and so forth,
right.
that it would make a difference to them. I think they would be shocked.
They should go to the American Bar Association page or to the Georgia Moratorium page.
Good.
And if I was held accountable for everything I did when I was 18, I shudder to think what would happen.
I think we're all that way.
If you are for the death penalty, could you support a moratorium while the fairness of its application is examined? Email us at radio@marynoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter and Mike Farrell are just two of the voices of our world. And I'm your host, Eileen Bott. This week's show was produced by Kathy Golden, and you heard music today by The Frames and Annie DeFranco. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll, or to try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.